This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV program on Free Speech TV and on our website. 15 years after the United States opened its notorious gulag in Guantanamo, Cuba, under President George W. Bush, Donald Trump's administration has indicated it will keep the prison open and even expand it. Media outlets have obtained the draft of an executive order to keep Guantanamo open to house prisoners from the Islamic State, although the CIA's so-called black sites will not be revived. President Barack Obama had attempted to shut down Guantanamo, but was unable to follow through. Still, under Obama's tenure, the number of prisoners in Guantanamo was reduced to about 55 men. If Trump's first foreign policy action in Yemen, which resulted in a number of women and children killed by U.S. soldiers, is any indication of how he will pursue war, we can only expect more death and destruction abroad. And that, coupled with a planned expansion of Guantanamo, plays exactly into the Islamic State's narrative of the U.S. as a dangerous nation. My guest is Jennifer Gibson. She's a staff attorney covering abuses in counterterrorism at Reprieve, which is a UK-based human rights organization. Welcome to the program, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the situation in Yemen and what happened with the U.S. raid there, let's focus on Guantanamo. I mentioned a draft of an executive order that has been leaked to the media about the expansion of Guantanamo. But of course, we shouldn't be surprised because during his campaign, Donald Trump actually boasted that he would not close Guantanamo and that they would keep it open and they would even expand it. What sort of a blow is this to, you know, people like yourself, the countless numbers of activists who have worked for 15 years to try to shut Guantanamo down, coming close under Obama, only to now basically see it possibly be expanded?
You know, I think it's not so much a blow as a huge disappointment. What people forget is there are men in Guantanamo, including one of Reprieve's clients, who are cleared for release, who were cleared under the Obama administration through an interagency process that involved a dozen or so agencies that determined the person was no longer a threat if they had ever been a threat in the first place. And yet they weren't transferred out of Guantanamo under the Obama administration. One of its biggest failings was not closing the detention center, because they, for some reason, couldn't come to an agreement on where to transfer the person to. So you now have President Trump coming in doing exactly what he said he was going to do during the campaign, which is expand a detention center that has been a blight on the U.S. human rights record, that has put us at odds with all of our allies, that is, by all accounts, even from national security kind of hawks, counterproductive, makes us less secure because it's used as a recruiting tool. And yet President Trump seems completely immune to the facts and is determined to keep it open.
During his campaign, he said, "I watched President Obama talk about Guantanamo Bay," which, by the way, we are keeping open. We are keeping open, and we're going to load it up with some bad dudes, believe me. We're going to load it up. And of course, now we know that what he means by bad dudes is people who identify with the Islamic State or ISIS or ISIL or Daesh, whatever name you want to use for the organization in northern Iraq and Syria that now is expanding in various parts of the Middle East. Now, currently, the men who are in Guantanamo, the 55 men, these are men who have nothing to do with the Islamic State, right? So if Trump were to put Islamic State fighters captured in the course of a U.S. war, this would be kind of a new group of men that have never been at Guantanamo, right?
Well, no, absolutely. And I mean, I think it's worth just stressing the, quote, bad dudes that were in Guantanamo in the first place. We heard that from George W. Bush. These were the worst of the worst. And over 800 men were put in Guantanamo. And by the time we got to the end of the Obama administration, it turned out that more than 90% of those men were cleared of ever having either done anything wrong or being a threat in the first place. You had cases of mistaken identity, cases of people put there for bounties, cases of people just picked up randomly who had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda or the war going on. And yet some of them were tortured, some of them were treated absolutely horrendously. All of them were detained without any sort of due process. It took decades to get them out. And now he wants to put some more, quote, bad dudes into Guantanamo, this time ISIS. Yet it's not clear the intelligence is going to be any better around ISIS than it was around Al-Qaeda. And these two groups, it's also not clear he has the legal authority to put ISIS in Guantanamo. The 2001 authorization for the use of military force, which is the legal basis upon which Guantanamo was opened, authorized the use of military force against Al-Qaeda and associated forces. While ISIS may have origins in Al-Qaeda in Iraq, the two groups split many years ago and, in fact, were fighting one another. And so it's not clear that that authorization actually entitles President Trump to do what he wants to do.
And isn't a huge reason why ISIS hates the United States something to do with our disgusting policies in Guantanamo? I mean, the theatrics with which ISIS has executed prisoners in orange garb are a direct reference to Guantanamo. I mean, this plays right into their hands. We under Trump and of course under Obama and Bush, but mostly under Bush and Trump, became the very thing that these kinds of groups, have projected as the U.S. being.
You know, since day one, Guantanamo has been a recruiting tool for our enemies. It's never been a smart policy by any means, even if you assumed that everyone in there were, quote, the bad dudes, which they weren't. It's been a constant recruiting tool, and it was why President Obama made a campaign promise to shut it down in 2008. He failed to do that, and now we have a president who seems to just not care what his national security establishment is telling him. And there's not a single person in the national security intelligence or national security apparatus with credibility who's saying they think it's a good idea this detention facility, this illegal detention facility that's viewed by most of the world with horror, stay open.
Right. I mean, it became a very strong political liability under Obama because the U.S. couldn't figure out where to resettle a lot of these men that it had held because of fears that holding them in Guantanamo and torturing them might have radicalized them. So it was hard for them to even find countries that would accept these prisoners, and you know, now we're down to 55. Where would any new prisoners, once they are in Guantanamo, I suppose Trump just expects that they would live out their natural lives in this gulag?
Yeah, it's not really clear he's thought that far ahead to the implications of what it means to repopulate Guantanamo, and/or that he's learned from the kind of struggles his predecessors have gone through in terms of what to do with the men once they're there. We're the United States of America. We're supposed to be the standard bearer for human rights. We're not supposed to be the country that illegally and indefinitely detains people without charge, without trial, without any sort of due process for decades under some guise that we think they're involved in terrorist activity. These men in Guantanamo that are there, Guantanamo needs to be shut. If they've got evidence, they need to charge them. If they don't have evidence, they need to release them. It's now the U.S.'s responsibility to find places for those men who need to be released. It's not the rest of the world's job to come help America clean up its mess. It's America's job to clean up its own mess.
And, you know, we should, of course, remember these are human beings with lives, with families, with communities. If 90% of these men were found to have no connection to terrorism or wanting to attack the United States, even setting aside those that might be guilty, you know, never going through their or having the kind of constitutional rights they would need to be convicted, but 90% known to have nothing to do with this, these are hundreds of lives destroyed, right?
These are men who missed the births of children, who missed their children growing up, who have spent, you know, decades away from their families, away from their wives. Some of them are in very poor health. Others, you know, spent one of Reprieve's clients didn't have any legal counsel because he was one of the last people added to Guantanamo. By that time, the habeas bar counsel was overflowing with clients. Nobody had time to take him on. And it's only this year he's even gotten proper legal counsel. These are people.
There were some boys under the age of 18 held in Guantanamo.
There were boys over the age of 18 who missed basically their entire kind of teenage years in their 20s before they were released. There are, you know, there's one of Reprieve's clients who's in there, Ahmed Rabbani, who was in the Senate torture report. They thought he was someone completely different.
Wow.
And picked him up because they thought he was someone else and then tortured him, then realized that he wasn't that person. And yet he's still there. And so these are not, these are men, you're right to say we have to remember these are human beings. These are also people whose lives have been put on hold now for 15 years. They deserve some sort of answer. And I think, unfortunately, one of the worst things the Obama administration did was to give them hope that they were going to get out, only to leave them there to a President Trump who seems to have no desire to ever let them out.
Let's talk about Yemen. I mean, the U.S. military exercises and interventions, bombings and raids, et cetera, in Muslim and Arab countries are directly linked, of course, to Guantanamo and historically have been since 9/11 for the past 15 years. So in his first foreign policy military act as president, Donald Trump authorized a raid in the poorest Gulf country, which is Yemen. And that was a raid that was being planned under Obama, and President Obama didn't feel the intelligence was strong enough. Trump decided to hell with it. He personally authorized it. And we're not talking about a drone strike here, right? Although I believe drones were involved in clearing the way. We're talking about U.S. soldiers on the ground in Yemen that went in guns blazing. Tell us what happened and who was killed and affected.
Yeah, I mean, this raid by people within the administration's own admission, everything that went wrong on this raid could have gone wrong. It's not clear that there was any real planning put into it. You've got a sleepy Yemeni village, very remote, and at 2 a.m. it gets raided by an unclear number of U.S. special forces in coordination with the United Arab Emirates and their special forces. They come into the village, guns blazing. They start shooting at people. They claim people shot back, probably because people were terrified. And the end result is you've got a village now where there's more than two dozen civilians killed, including an 8-year-old girl, a newborn baby, an 80-year-old tribal elder who was there to settle a dispute about something, not to mention women, children, men who were all just trying to cope with what appeared to be a threat in the middle of the night.
One of the U.S. soldiers, I understand, shot a pregnant woman in the belly.
Yeah, so the understanding is the pregnant woman has died as well as the baby. The baby survived for a short while and then died. So, you know, you've got a whole village that's been devastated. President Trump still wants to call this a win. I'm not sure how you can call any sort of operation that kills two dozen civilians a win. This isn't a sporting event.
His press secretary, Sean Spicer, said by any standard, this was a success. Or I'm paraphrasing here. By any standard. Wow.
Yeah. And I think, look, it is an absolute... Any loss of life is horrendous, whether it's American or Yemeni. And here we've got two dozen people who purportedly were nothing to do with the operation, just in the village, shot up as the commandos went in. And this is, you know, this is not how you win hearts and minds. This is not how you defeat terrorism. This is the exact opposite of that. This doesn't make us safer. In fact, it raises real questions about whether President Trump actually understands any of the dynamics on the ground in Yemen.
And what has the impact been? I mean, I understand now Yemen has decided not to let the U.S. in on the ground. I mean, it's any hope that the U.S. had of having actually friendly relations with some members of some of these governments is slowly melting away.
Yeah, well, you have to remember, this is a country where the U.S. under President Obama carried out hundreds of drone strikes, killing, by independent accounting, hundreds of civilians.
That we covered on our program, even though many liberal groups, sadly, liberal Democrats in particular, did not want to acknowledge the kind of hawkish President Obama was. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I mean, and it was an unaccountable program. It was non-transparent. There were no proper investigations into reports of civilian deaths. There were huge disputes between the human rights community and the Obama administration when they did finally admit they were doing it. For the longest time, they denied it. You know, that program is the kind of genesis that's of what's going on now. President Obama handed over to President Trump the keys to an unaccountable kind of counterterrorism assassination program, and President Trump's one-upped the ante. Instead of using drones, he's taken U.S. special ops and put boots on the ground and raided a village. And it's gone disastrously wrong.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. President Obama oversaw this drone program where people, you know, in Nevada in the U.S. were remote controlling the bombs being dropped. Trump has upped the ante and has now actually included U.S. soldiers in combat in Yemen, a country that we're not involved in ground combat before, although, of course, we were supporting Saudi ground troops with advice. And it's interesting because Trump continuously criticized both Obama and Hillary Clinton's role in the United States. And some of those critiques were justified. And now, of course, instead of acting on those critiques that he made, he is expanding and even worsening, if it was even possible, the war fighting that Obama continued.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, if he's going to continue on this path with kind of unaccountable raids, it's just simply not acceptable. When there are confirmed reports on the ground from multiple sources of potentially 24 civilians being killed, including babies and children, I mean, there's no way you can argue they were legitimate targets in any way, shape, or form. If that's going to be our modus operandi going forward, we need really strong accountability measures, and we need Congress to step up and say, no, no, this isn't enough. We need a public investigation into what went wrong here. We need to figure out what happened and how to avoid doing it again. Because if we don't and we continue down this path, this is not making us safer. In fact, quite the opposite.
Trump reportedly approved that U.S. raid over dinner. I mean, we have somebody here who's not just utterly unqualified to take such military decisions, but who treats them with an absolute, you know, lack of seriousness, who basically doesn't seem to understand that his actions actually impact real human beings. And of course, we should mention that a U.S. soldier was also killed in the raid itself. And maybe the idea of U.S. soldiers being in greater harm's way will have more traction among some people who support Trump directly. Finally, Jennifer, how does your group Reprieve intend on countering the Trump administration in the work that you do? I mean, the last 8 years were bad enough. The last 15 years were bad enough, and it feels like it couldn't get worse, but it's going to.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way right now. It certainly seems like the candidate Trump is going to, as President Trump, do exactly what he said he was going to do, which is on many levels terrifying. What we all need to be doing is pushing back at every stage of what's happening and making sure that none of this becomes normalized. And that includes, you know, Reprieve on the counterterrorism front. We've been investigating the Yemen raid for the past week and a half. We're in contact with some of the families of those who have been killed. We're going to push the issue, and we're not going to let it drop. There needs to be a public investigation into what's gone on. And the same thing with Guantanamo. If he wants to open up Guantanamo and add more ISIS fighters, then, you know, we'll see him in court. These are not acceptable policies. They're not legal policies. And this is a president who seems to have no respect whatsoever for the rule of law.
Well, Jennifer, give out a website for Reprieve.
Yep, it's www.reprieve.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest is Jennifer Gibson. She's a staff attorney covering abuses in counterterrorism at Reprieve, which is a UK-based human rights organization. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RUwithSonali.